Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph. We are holding on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are at Money E Rebbe, which is on the very top of the, close to the very top of the second line of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Adeline Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleh Shalom. So first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to try to figure out who is the Tana that holds that neither Dam nor Ketores receives any Melech. We had the whole Brisa yesterday that the entire daf was based on about what does and does not get salt as far as karbanos are concerned, and apparently neither dam nor ketores get melech. But we're going to see that, or we've already seen that there doesn't seem to be a single tana that holds that combination of shitos. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the status of cooked and congealed dam, is whether it's mechaper as a karbon, whether it's subject to the isser of achilas dam, and then very briefly, the Gemara is going to discuss whether dam is considered a chatzitza with regard to tevila b'mikvah. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the psukim about melach, about salting a karban, and it's going to darshan further in those psukim. And it's going to discuss the type of salt, how much salt a person is supposed to use when salting a karban. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis, what may Kohanim use the salt that belongs to Hagdish for? And we're going to have a Shmuel's going to make some comment about this, that it's only the karbanam but la'achila lo, and we're going to have two understandings of what Shmuel means when he says la'achila lo, and that discussion is going to bring us through the end of the daf and into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin again, the second line of the page on daf chaf aleph amud aleph. So says the Gemara, who is the Tana that taught the Brisa that we had in yesterday's daf? Money e Rebbe kasha eitzim. If the Tana of the Brisa is Rebbe, so the Brisa says that Eitzim do not require Malicha, but according to Rebbe, Eitzim do require Malicha, and because Rebbe holds that Eitzim are a Karban, and therefore requires Hagasha, and requires Malicha, and Rav said it even requires Kmitza, so Eitzim require all of those things. So it doesn't fit Rebbe and E Rabbanan, and if you want to say that it's the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe, and hold that Eitzim do not require Malicha, well then Kasha Ketores. The Brisa says that Ketores does not require Malicha, but the Rabbanan had said that anything that acherim or ba'im chovim la requires malicha, and ketores is included in that category because ketores requires eitzim la'aktara. In order to be maktir the ketores, you need eitzim. So it's acherim ba'im chovim la, and therefore, according to the Rabbanan, ketores does require malicha. So says Gemara, haitanuhu. Who is the author of the Brisa? It is the following Tana. Titania, we have a Brisa, Rabbi Shalom, no Shalom, Rabbi Yochum, and Broko Omer, mahaprat mifora. Dover shemekabel tuma va'ola le'ishim v'yeshno al mizbeach hachitzon. That just like that which the Torah identifies as requiring malicha, meaning the korban mincha, which requires malicha, has three criteria. There are three characteristics that it has, and that is that it's a dover shemekabel tuma. If something tamei touches it, it's something that's burnt on a fire, like the kometz of a mincha is burnt on the mizbeach. And it's something that's put on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So too, only things that share all three of those characteristics are going to require Malicha. Av kol davar ha-mekabel tumah ve'olalishim ve'yeshno Mizbeach HaChitzon. Only such things require Malicha. And therefore, yatsu eitzim she'in mekabel tumah. Eitzim do not require Malicha because eitzim are not mekabel tumah. Yatsu dam ve'yayin she'in olalishim. Dam and yayin do not require Malicha because they're not burnt on any fire. Yatzak Torah shein al mizbeach hachitzon, and Ketores does not require malicha because the Ketores is burnt on the mizbeach hapnimi in the heichal. It is not burnt on the mizbeach hachitzon. So it's the Tana that holds that you need all three of those criteria in order to require malicha. That must be the Tana of the Brisa that exempts both Ketores as well as Eitzim from malicha. Now it's interesting. We exclude Eitzim because we say that Eitzim is not mekabel tuma. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed tells us that the Vav in the Pasuk of Ahabasar Shiga B'chol Tomei Lo Yochal comes to teach me that the Atzei Maracha and the Lavona are Mekabel Tumah Kibasar. So we have a Beferish Drasha that the Atzei Maracha are in fact Mekabel Tumah. So how can the Gemara say as a Davar Pasha over here that Eitzim are excluded because they are not Mekabel Tumah? So Rashi answers that the Drasha over there is not in Drasha Gemura, it's only in Asmachta, Midar Raisa. Eitzim are really not Mekabel Tumah, it's only Gzeri midrabana that the Yitzmar mekabel toma. And over here, obviously, we're talking drushos on a daraisa level. Tosos asks on Rashi that it's not true. The drush over there is a drush in Gemura. Yitzmar, in fact, mekabel toma mida oraisa. So he doesn't know what Rashi's talking about. So he says when the Gemara over here says that Yitzmar not mekabel toma, he means that the Gemara must mean that atzei chulin are not mekabel toma, says Tosos. Einochinami atzei maracha are mekabel toma. It's a special din of the Yitzim for the maracha on the mizbeach. But since Eitzim in general, outside of the Eitzim and the Mizbeach, are not Mekabel Tumah, they are not similar to a Mincha, because a Mincha is flour, and flour is Mekabel Tumah everywhere. Both flour of Kachem and flour of Chulin is Mekabel Tumah. So that's enough to exclude Eitzim from the din of Melicha. And we said that Ketores is excluded because it's not brought in the Mizbeach Achitzon. In the Sefer Yashar V'Tov, he says, why does the Bryce say it's excluded because of that? It's not brought in the Mizbeach Achitzon. It's excluded anyway because it's not Mekabel Tumah, meaning it's like Eitzim is not Mekabel Tumah. Ketores is also not Mekabel Tumah. So shouldn't it have been excluded anyway? So in the Olah Shlomo, he suggests that Ketores is not Mekabel Tumah when it's Bifnei Atzma, but when you put it into a Tavshil, it's Mitztarif to the food that you put it into, and therefore it becomes Mekabel Tumah through that Siruf. So just like spices, that bifnei atzman, they're not roi la'achila, and therefore they're not an ochel, and they're not mekabel tumah. But when you put the spices into a food, and then the spices become edible, and the food becomes more delicious, so then they are mekabel tumah. So that's why we would say that the ketores is in fact yes mekabel tumah. But the reason that ketores does not require melicha is because it's not burnt on the mizbeach chitzon; it's burnt on the mizbeach hapnimi. Okay, so now says the Gemara, ela taima demiate kra ledam, the reason that dam does not require melicha is because we have this miut in the pasuk that excludes dam from melicha. But the implication is halav hachi, had it not been for a pasuk telling me that dam does not require melicha, havamina dam libay melech, I would have naturally assumed that dam does require melicha. Well, frek the Gemara, how does that make sense? Why would I even have had such a hava amina? Kivin the malche nafke the mitaris dam. Once you put salt in it, it's no longer considered halachically dam. Granted, you might, a human being might call it dam, but halachically it no longer has the status of dam once it's salted, and therefore it's not kosher to use for zrika on the mizbeach anyway. Dam ziri amar Rabbi Chanina, dam shebishlo, if you have dam that was cooked, eino over a lav, you don't violate the isra of achilas dam when you eat such dam, because the Torah is only mechayev you for dam aroi lekapara, and dam that is cooked is not roi lekapara, it's no longer a violation of the isra daraisa of achilas dam. So dam kachim, as soon as you cook it, it's not roi for kapara. Rabbi Yehuda amar ziri, dam shemelacho eino over a lav. That likewise, if you salt dam, that meliach kiroseach, it's as if you cooked it, and therefore it's not subject to the isra of achilas dam anymore. Rabbi Yehuda didei amar evarim shetzlaan, that if you have evarim that you roast on the fire before you put them on the maracha vehelon, and then you put them on the maracha, ein b'mishum l'reich nichoach. It's not a reich nichoach. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you're not mekayim the pasuk of reich nichoach l'Hashem. So since, but bottom line is, we spoke about putting salt in the dam. Since melicha pasels dam, lechor it's pasul that dam does not require melicha. Melicha that it would ruin it. It would make it not dam anymore. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that dam doesn't get melicha? Isn't it a davar pasul that dam doesn't get melicha if it's not even called dam once you salt it? So says Mar Mal Detema Mishta B'Mashu L'Mitzvah B'Alma. I might have thought that you got to put a drop of salt, just as a mitzvah b'yalma, to fulfill the mitzvah of melicha. And that mashu is not called the melicha of dam that will change the status of the dam. A drop of salt is not going to change the status of the dam. So kamash melon, therefore the pasuk has to tell me that even if it's such a minuscule amount of salt that you're putting in the dam, that's not going to change its status, you still have no mitzvah to do that. So that's what the miut in the pasuk is coming to teach me. Now the din of meliach kiroteach is only when the salting is enough that it's einu nechal machmas molchel, right? That's what we assume in Yeridea, that the concept of meliach kiroteach is similar to the concept of kavush kumavushal, that normally in order to affect the transference of tam from one thing to another, you need heat. That's how tam transfers. But there are some exceptions to the rule. You have a davar charif with a duchka de sakina that can transfer tam from one thing to the other when you cut an onion with a knife. That's why in Yerodeo, we tell everybody to be a big posek in Hilchos Kashrus, you need to know two rules. Everything is kosher, unless there, in rule number two, unless there is an onion involved, right? Then it's not. So don't ask a shayla still. But there is the possibility of transferring tam without heat. So Meliach Kiroseach is one example of that, but it's not just any amount of salt. Kavish Kumvushal is another example. Meliach Kiroseach is only when it's Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho. So Tosos of here points out that you see from this Gemara that Stam Melicha of Kachim is assumed to be Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho, because the Gemara just says, well, wait a second, by Stam Melicha of Kachim, by Stam Melicha of the Dam, if you would require Melicha on Dam and you do a regular Melicha that we do, and you were to try to do that on Dam, it would ruin the Dam because it's Mevushal, because it's Meliach Kiroseach. So you see that whatever amount of salt they put in Kachim apparently is considered enough to be Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho. So Tosa says, because Stam Melicha of Kachim, since Meliach is Kiroseach, we assume that it no longer has the status of Dam. So apparently that's enough to assume that it's Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho. Okay, so now says Mar Gufa. We had said previously that Amar Zir Amar B'chinir Dam Shabishlo Eino Overlove, that if you cook Dam, it's not a violation of Achilas Dam when you eat such Dam. Yosef Rava Kamala La Shmaita. So Rava said over this teaching of Zi'iri, Eisve Abaye, and Abaye challenges Rava that we have a Braisa. Hikpa es Hadam Va'achalo, if you congeal the Dam and you solidify it and then you eat it, Oshimches Achelev Gumao, or you liquefy Chelev and you drink it, Chayiv, Chayiv Karis for Achilas Dam or for Achilas Chelev. Now, wait a second, Zi'iri says that once you cook Dam, it's no longer dam, because how do you congeal dam? Isn't it through cooking? So how could we say that you chayv kareis when you eat dam that has been congealed, if we just got through saying that when you cook dam, it's not dam anymore, and you're not going to be chayv kareis for eating dam that is cooked? So says Mar Lo Kasha, it's not a stira. The brice is not a stira to Zi'iri. Kan shehikva b'ur, kan shehikva b'chama. That when Zi'iri was talking about when he said that it's cooked, it's no longer dam, that's if you used fire to congeal it. So that's mevushal, and that's roseach, that's no longer considered dam. But when the Braisa says you're chayiv, if you eat dam that has been congealed, that's if you used the sun to do it. So ba'ur, kanshuk b'chama, because ba'ur lo hadar, because when you use a fire, it doesn't go back. It's the dam will never go back to liquefying, and therefore you're going to be putter if you eat it. But b'chama, hadar, but if you congeal it using the sun, so it doesn't really change it permanently, it will go back to becoming liquefied at some point the way it originally was, and therefore you're chayiv if you eat it even in its current congealed state. So why would we say that that's the case? Meaning, why are you saying that because when you congeal it with chama, it's going to go back to what it was, therefore we view it as if it never changed in the first place? Why not say the opposite? Why not say, once I congeal it with the chama, so now I see that it's congealed, it's no longer dam, and therefore, I don't care what happens to it afterwards. Even after it liquefies, we should say, hol vidchi idchi. Once it loses the status of dam, it's not dam anymore, and it should never be dam again. Because after all, dam shekara shva'achalo mahu, he asks, if dam congealed and you ate it, are you chayiv for eating dam? So amalei, hol vidchi idocha, that once it's been nidcha by congealing, so then you're always going to be potter. So how can Rava say that if it was hikva b'chama, you're going to be chayiv for it? No, if it's hikva b'chama, it's nidcha from being dam, and therefore it should never be considered dam again, even after it liquefies again. So ishtik, Rava didn't have what to answer to that. So Amalei Abaye says, Rava, dilma vadai kan b'chato'os hachitonios, kan b'chato'os hapnimios. Bach takes out the word vadai because it's really a dilma. He's saying, maybe we can suggest that the brisa that says that you're chayiv for eating dam that has been congealed is talking about the dam of chato'os hachitonios, the dam of that's supposed to be placed on the mizbeach hachitzon, that since it's ro'i to be used for kapara, so you can be chayiv for eating it. And the the same would be true for dam chulin that is congealed, that you're also going to be chayiv because it's still ro'oi l'kapara. Had it been kachim, it would be ro'oi l'kapara. Whereas the Iri says that once the dam is cooked, your pater, that's bechatos apnimios. That's by the parim and the seirim that are nisrafim, that the dam is brought bifnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or at least into the Heichal, where once it's congealed, it's not ro'oi l'kapara anymore. Why is it not ro'oi l'kapara anymore? So that's what the Gemara is about to explain. So Amar at Kartan Milsa Dam Rav Chista. He says, you reminded me. Rava says back to Abaye, I'm glad you raised that point, that maybe there's a difference between the dam of Chatos HaChitzonios versus Chatos HaPnimios, because you reminded me of that which Rav Chista taught, that dam shekarash bechatos va'achalo. What if you have congealed dam of a carbon chatos and you eat it? Is that a violation of Achilas dam? Chayiv. Yes, you're chayiv for it being ochel dam. Why? V'lokach v'nasan. Because what are you supposed to do with the dam of Chatos HaChitzonios? Your only mitzvah is v'lokach. It says v'lokach hakoyin midam achatos be'etzba'o v'nasan. And you v'nasal karnas mizbach ha'ola. You put it on the mizbech. Amar Rachmana. That's all the Torah requires you to do. To lokach nasan. Not a tevila, not a hazaa. That's all you have to do. V'hai bar l'kichu nasinahi. And even if it is congealed, you can do both of those things. And therefore, it's still roi l'kapara. So if it's still roi l'kapara, it's still dam. And if it's still dam, you're chayiv for eating it. B'chatos ha'pnimios v'achalo pater v'taval v'hiza amrachmana. Why is it that dam shekarash of chatos ha'pnimios you're going to be pater for eating? Because what are you supposed to do with the dam of chatos ha'pnimios? It's not just v'lokach v'nasan. You're supposed to be v'taval ha'koines etzbo b'dam v'hiza min adam v'hai lav bar tevil v'azohu. Once it's congealed, there's no dipping in, there's no sprinkling. It can't be done when it's not a liquid. So male, it's not roi l'kapara. If it's not roi l'kapara, it's not dam. And if it's not dam, you're not going to be chayiv for eating it. So you want to know how to reconcile the Ze'iri with the Braisa, where Ze'iri says, once the dam is cooked, that's it. There's you're not going to be in violation of Achilas Dam, versus the Braisa that says that you are in violation of Achilas Dam when the dam is congealed. So very simple. We're talking about different types of dam. There's the dam of the Chatos HaChitzonios and the dam of the Chatos HaPnimios. V'Rava Didei Amar, and Rava himself disagrees with Rav Chista, and he holds, Afil b'Chatos HaPnimios v'achal l'chayiv, that even if you're ochel dam of Chatos HaPnimios, you're going to be chayiv. Aye, but it's not roi l'kapara. Hold v'kenegdo roi b'Chatos HaChitzonios. Since dam in a similar condition by Chatos HaChitzonios would still be useful for kapara, so therefore you see that in this physical condition, it's considered dam. Granted, because you're dealing with Chatos HaPnimios, once it's congealed, it's no longer useful for the Chatos HaPnimios, but we see that dam in this physical condition is still called dam when it's Chatos HaChitzonios, and therefore, even when it's in this physical condition, it happens to be Chatos HaPnimios dam, it's still called dam. L'mayin afkamina, that if you eat it, you're going to be chayiv. So I'm Rav Papa points out that according to Rava, that congealed dam of Chatos HaPnimios, even though you cannot use it for kapara, but you're chayiv for eating it, since in this physical condition it would be roi l'kapara chatos hachitzonios, hilkach dam chamor shekarash va'achalo. If you have dam of a non-kosher animal that congealed and you ate it, it's not roi for any carbon, because you're not allowed to bring a non-kosher animal for a carbon. Chayiv, you should be chayiv for achilas dam, because dam in this physical condition you're going to be chayiv for. Holu kenegda roi b'chatos hachitzonios. And because had it been a kosher dam of a kosher animal, chatos hachitzonios, it would be considered dam, and therefore it's considered dam, even if it comes from a non-kosher animal. Now the Gemara mentions, almost totally parenthetically actually, that Amar of Gidol Amar Ze'iri, dam bein lach bein yavish chotzeitz. It's not really a topic of our discussion at all, but we just say that dam, whether it's dry or whether it is moist, it's going to be a chatzitza with regard to tevila. That's what Rashi writes, Shidum Gvetza says, and also legabe netilas yadayim, because it's the same dinam of chatzitza for tevila and for Netilas Yudayim. So they ask on Rav Gidol, it says in the Braisa, Hadam v'hadyo v'hadvash v'achalav yuveshin chotzin lachanein chotzin, that the Braisa is pretty explicit that when it's moist, it is not a chatzitza. So how can you, Rav Gidol and Maziri, say bein lach bein yavesh, that it is, yes, a chatzitza? So he said, lo kasha, ha de sarich, ha de lo sarich. Rav Gidol says, Adam lach is chotzitz. He's talking about it's already begun one to become sticky and dry-ish. Whereas the Braisa that says dam lach is not a chatzitza is when it's in its pure liquid form. Now, why is it that lach would not be a chatzitza? That itself is a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos Maseches Zvachim Daf Ayin Ches says because the davar lach, the water will get right through it. Meaning, since the water will combine with any other liquid, so it will get right through it, and therefore the water of the mikvah will actually touch your skin, even though you have wet dam on your skin. Whereas the Mordechai quotes from the Re'eim that the reason Yavish is chotzeitz lach is not chotzeitz is because people are typically makbid on congealed dam; they're not makbid on lach. And the rule by chatzitza and tevila is that a davar makbid is a chatzitza, but a davar she'eno makbid is not a chatzitza. It's a little more nuanced than that. A davar she'eno makbid is never a chatzitza midaraisa. It could be a chatzitza midarabanan if it covers rove of the person's body. So rubo makbid is a chatzitza midaraisa. Rubo she'eno makbid is a chatzitza midarabanan. Okay, miuto hamakbid is a chatzitza midarabanan. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to our original discussion, which was the psukim about salting karbanos, right? The pasuk had said, "V'chol karban minchascha b'melach timlach v'losash b'smelach bris alukecha me'al minchasecha al kol karban chatak rav melach." So we never accounted for the double lashna of b'melach timlach, right? What's that double expression? So timlach l'mayasa. What is that word coming to teach me? So l'chadetanya, it's teaching me what I learned in the following brisa. B'melach yachol tivoneu. I might think that you got to put a lot of salt on it. Tamalomar timlach. That's why it says timlach. Nah, you don't need so much. E timlach. If it only would have said timlach, yachal, I would think that you just give the basar a little bit of a salty flavor. And how do you do that? Bimei melach. You could just, you don't have to put actual salt. You could put water that has salt mixed in with it. In Israel, when I ordered a coffee, so I asked for, they asked if I want sugar in the coffee. I said, yes, please. So they gave me a little thing of water with the sugar already. I don't think that ever happened in America. They give you a packet and say, here, help yourself. But you might have a havamina that that's how you're going to salt that's how you're going to salt the carbon. So tamalom, that's why the pasuk says no. Bamelech, you got to use pure salt. You can't use some salt concentrate. It's got to be pure salt. Velotashbis melech. The pasuk goes on to say velotashbis melech. Havei melech she'ena shoveses. You have to bring melech that is always around, both in the summertime and the wintertime. Vezo zo melech stomus. That's melech stomus, which doesn't need to be mined. It just naturally comes up on the side of the water. Uminayin shem lo matzo melech stomus shemevi melech istrokanis. How do I know that if you cannot find melech stomus, you should use melech istrokanis, which needs to be mined? So Tamalama, the pasuk says, takriv kol shehu. That b'di'avid, whatever you bring is good enough, whether it's melech stomus or whether it's melech istrokanis. So takriv mikol makom. And it could be and the melech could come from anywhere, even from chutz la'aretz. So, that tells me that even a carbon tzibur, takriv afilu b'shabbos, you could bring the melech even on Shabbos, takriv afilu b'tumah, and you could bring it even b'tumah, because melicha is an avoda, and therefore it's docha Shabbos and it's docha tumah. Now, the implication is that because I have a special drasha that teaches me I'm allowed to do melicha of a carbon on Shabbos, that's why I'm allowed to do melicha of a carbon on Shabbos. But otherwise, melicha of a carbon on Shabbos is going to be some violation of some halacha. Question is, which melacha are you violating when you do melicha on a carbon? The Maram Rutenberg raises the question that lechora meleach is not chayiv, is only a chiv, to salt something is a chiv mishum ibud. But the rule is that ein ibud ba'ochem, Shabbos tavayin hay. There is no ibud on food. So if I'm being meleach a carbon, what is the melacha that I'm doing when I'm salting a carbon? Is ein ibud ba'ochem. So he says, yeah, the etzem melicha, you don't need a pasuk to be matir because there's no melacha. But after the melicha, they're makter it on the fire, and that's a violation of havaras hamelach. So that's you need a pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to be mavir the melach, meaning ain't a chinami. I'm allowed to salt. There's no issur of salting. But then what do you do with it? Then you put it on the fire. So now I'm burning the salt. That I need a heter for because you're not allowed to burn stuff on Shabbos. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that you can do the melicha even being mindful of what the next step is going to be. Now we said that had we had just the word melach alone, I would have thought that it means tivonehu, right? That's what the Brisa said. So we said that tivonehu means that you need to put a ton, you need to put a lot of melech. So my tivonehu, but the Gemara says, don't know, what does this word mean? It's not a familiar word to us. What does it mean that it only said the word Bamelech? I would have assumed Tivonehu. Samarab Barula Hachikamar Yachal Yisponenu Kiteven Betit. I might think you should put as much salt as the amount of straw that you put in cement, meaning a lot. So that's how it means a lot. That you would use it as an ingredient the same way you use Tevin as an ingredient in making cement. So I'm like, Abayis says, Ihachi, Yisponenu mi bayulei. Then Tivonehu is not the right word. Yisponenu is the right word. Elo Amar Abayis says, no, what it means is, Yachal Yasenu kebinyan. I might think that you should make it like a binyan, like a building that has so many layers of bricks and things like that. So that it's another way of saying to put a lot of salt in, but it's saying salt as if you're building something. So Amar Le Rava, Rava said to Abayis, Ihachi, Yivnenu mi bayulei. If it means binyan, it should say build it, right? It should say Yivnenu. What's Tivonehu? Elam Rava. So Rava says, no, here's what it means. Yachal Tivonehu, my Tivonehu. Amravashi Yachal Yitin Bo Tam Kibina. That you might think that you have put in so much salt that it's Tam Kibina, that it gives that the person is able to detect the taste right away. So Tamalomar Timlach. That's why the pasuk says Timlach. You don't need so much salt that you need to detect the taste immediately. So Ketzaduosa. How do you do the Malicha? Mevia Ever Nosin Lav Melach. You bring the limb of the carbon and you put salt on it. V'chozer V'hovcho, and then you flip it over. V'nosin Lav Melach. And you put salt on the other side, and then you bring it up on the mizbeach. Amar Abaye v'chein l'kadeira. He says, oh, by the way, that's how you salt meat also, that you need to do the salting in order to remove the dam from the meat. You don't need more than that. You put the salt on one side, flip it over, put the salt on the other side, and that's going to be enough to accomplish the din of melicha that you need to do on any basar. Tan Rabbanan melech shal gabe ha'ever mo'alin bo shal gabe ha'kevesh shabarosh shal mizbeach ein mo. The salt that's on the limb of a carbon has a din of the carbon itself and therefore is subject to me'ila if you get hanah from the salt. But the salt that's on the ramp of the mizbeach, that, salting is a bit of a messy process, right? When you're salting, the salt doesn't all stay on the meat that you're salting. It gets all over the table, all over the sides of where you're salting it. So when they would salt on the ramp, so obviously there would be a lot of salt that would remain on the ramp. So that salt, or the salt that's barosh hashem mizbeach, when they would do the melicha of the komets of a carbon mincha, that was done barosh hashem mizbeach, so some salt got all over the place. Some salt, got on the top of the mizbeach. That salt is not subject to me'ila because it's not to be used. So it's not part of the carbon anymore, or it never became part of the carbon, and therefore it's not subject to me'ila. V'amrav masa mikra'a. How do I know that there's a din me'ila on the salt that's with the carbon? Because the Gemara says, the pasuk says, v'yakraftim v'nei Hashem v'shli. So vehelu osam ola sounds like it's the combination of all of it. It's the aver with the melech that's all called an ola, and an ola subject to meila. So you see that the salt is also subject to meila. Okay, so we said there is a mishnah in Mesachta Shkalim that tells us that Beis Din was mesakein a whole bunch of takaros related to korbanos, and one of them was that the kohanim are allowed to get hanaa from the melech of hegdish. So the rest of the daf deals with the nature of that takana and the necessity of that takana. That way they made a special takana that kohanim are allowed to get hana'a from the salt of Hegdish. So Tanan Hasam, there's a mishnah in Shkalim, ala melach v'ala eitzim shukhanim neosin behen. That the salt and the eitzim that belong to Hegdish, kohanim are allowed to get hana'a from them. So Amar Shmuel has a comment, and there are two ways to understand Shmuel's comment. Lo shanu ela l'karbonam aval achilu lo. This din that kohanim are allowed to get hana'a from the salt of Hegdish, that's only if they want to use it for their karbanos. But they want to use it for achila, then there was never a takada that allows them to use the salt of Hegdish for their own achila. Now, what does Shmuel mean by that? What is le karbanam and what is la achila? So the first way of understanding it is kasal kadaituch, my le karbanam, limloach karbanam. Le karbanam means to use to salt their karbanos. That the kohanim are allowed a special takana, that they're allowed to use Hegdish salt in order to to salt their karbanos. But what are they not allowed to do? La achila means la achilas kachim. That even when they're eating kachim, even when they're eating karbanos, they're not allowed to use hektish salt to salt the meat that they're going to use, that they're going to eat when they want to eat kachim. They're not allowed to use hektish salt. So, frak the Gemara, how could that be? Hashtalim loach oros kachim yavinon, la achilas kachim lo yavinon. I don't understand. If you're allowed to salt the hides, the kachim hides, which end up becoming absolute chulin, right? The kachim hides, the oros of kachim kalim belong to the bailim. Oros of kachim kachim go to the kohanim, but they're chulin gemurim. It's absolutely chulin. And nevertheless, we allow you to use salt that belongs to hegdish to salt the hides. So for achilas kachim, where it remains kachim, you're not allowed to use kachim salt to eat the kachim? How could that be? Titania, how do I know that kohanim are allowed to salt the hides with kachim salt? Because the Bryce it says, that there are three places in the Mikdash where they place salt. Belishkas HaMelech, Valgabe HaKevesh, Uberosh HaShem Mizbeach. In the Lishkas HaMelech, there's a place called the Lishkas HaMelech. There are six Lishachos in the Azara, Lishkos in the Azara, three in the north and three in the south. And Lishkas HaMelech was one of the, in Mesechus Midos, is one of the ones that are in the northern half of the Azara. So, Belishkas HaMelech, Shasham Molchin, Oros Kachim. That's where they would do the Malicha of Oros Kachim. Al Gavi HaKevesh, Shasham Molchin, Mesevarim. On the ramp of the Mizbeach is where they would do the Malicha of the limbs of all the Karbanos that before they went up to the Maracha. And Barosh Shasham Mizbeach, Shasham Molchin, Shasham Molchin, Komets, V'Levona, U'Ketores, U'Minchas Kohanim, U'Mashiach, U'Minchas Tzachim, V'Ola Sa'of. And on top of the Mizbeach is where they would do the Malicha of all the various Karbanos Mincha, and as well as in the Ola Sa'of. But bottom line is, you see Beferish in the Brisa, that Kohanim are allowed to use Melach of Hegdish to salt the Oros of Kachim. So how could it be for Achilas Kachim? They're not going to be allowed to use the Hegdish salt. They're allowed to use it for Chulin. They're allowed to use it for the Oros of Kachim, which is Chulin. They're not allowed to use it for Achilas Kachim, which is real Kachim. That doesn't make any sense. So says Gemara's second interpretation of Shmuel. When Shmuel said that they made the Takana, that Kohanim are allowed to use Hegdish salt, L'Karbanam, but not L'Achila, what it meant is, L'Mai L'Karbanam, L'Achilas Karbanam. What they are allowed to use Hegdish salt for is eating their Karbanos. My L'Achila, what are they not allowed to use it for? That we said L'Achila, they're not allowed to use it? Achila T'chulin. Kohanim are not allowed to just take Hegdish salt and use it for their own Achilas Chulin. And I'll just take it home with them and salt their chicken soup that night, you know, that they eat at home. That's what they're not allowed to, that's what they're not allowed to do. So says Gemara, Chulin Pshita. My bo'u hasan. So chulin l'chor it's a davar pashut. There would never be chulin in the Azara in the first place that they would be able to salt it there. So obviously they're not allowed to use hektish. So hektish salt has to stay in the Azara, and chulin is not even allowed to be brought into the Azara. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara's kasha, that it's an issue of bringing chulin into the Azara. So they're not bringing their chicken soup from home into the Azara to eat it there, because that would be a violation of bringing chulin into the Azara. That's a major discussion in Rishonim. Is that so pashut that you're not allowed to bring any chulin item into the Azara? Shidduch Vetzas quotes Tosos Chitonios that ask on Rashi, there's no issue to bring chulin into the Azara. There's an issue to bring chulin into the Azara to be makrivit. You know how to be makriv chulin in the Azara. So you want to bring something chulin to use it as a karban, that you're not allowed to do in the Azara. But you want to stam, you want to bring your, I don't know, your phone into the, probably you're not going to be allowed to do that, but you want to, you know, for Zoom purposes. But you want to, so that you're allowed to do. There's no issue of bringing an item that is chulin into the Azara. But anyway, Rashi seems to assume that yes, there is, that you're not allowed to bring your chicken soup into the Azara. So Mela, it's not even shaykh to talk about using hektish salt for a chulin. So says Marna, Afagav Damar Mar, even though we said when it comes to the shirayim of a korban mincha, that the pasuk says that b'chatzar al moed yochlua, so we darshin that yochlu, sheyochlu ima chulin utruma, k'dei she'tein chelas al asova, that we darshin that if you don't have enough of a korban mincha to fill you up, you should first eat other food. Eat chulin or truma, because kohanim are allowed to eat truma. So even though you're not allowed to bring chulin into the Azara, you eat chulin and truma outside of the Azara, and then you go inside so that to eat the korban al asova. Kadesh teina chalas al asova, said the korban could be eaten al asova. So Shmuel is telling me that even though the achilas chulin that you're doing is lutzorech achilas kachim, afiluachim melach de kachim lo yavinu luhu. You don't put melech malach of hegdish on this chulin food, even though you're eating this chulin food for the sake of achilas kachim. Now, so that's the din that all kachim needs to be nechal ala sova. It sounds from our gemara that we darshan it from this pasuk about the karban mincha. In gemara zvachim, it sounds like we darshan it from the mashkal the gedula, that you're supposed to eat in a dignified way, and you eat in a way that a king would eat, and therefore you nechal, it's nechal ala sova. Okay, so a little bit of a difficulty. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Hachinami Mistavrit to say that you're understanding Shmuel correctly, that the second understanding of Shmuel is the correct understanding, not the first understanding. Again, Shmuel said that the takana that they're allowed to use, salt of Hegdish, is only the karbanim but not la'achila. So the first understanding of Shmuel was that they were allowed to salt their karbanos, but they're not allowed to eat the kachim with Hegdish salt. And the second understanding is, no, they're allowed to eat kachim with Hegdish salt. They're not allowed to eat chulin with Hegdish salt. So he says, most mistaver, that the second interpretation is correct. Because if you say that karbanim means to salt the karbanos, that they're allowed to use, they made a takana, that they're allowed to use salt to salt their karbanos, taima da asni bezdin. Do they really need a tanai bezdin, a special takanas bezdin in the Mishnah in Masech Hashkalim to teach me that you're allowed to salt the karbanos with hegdish salt? Halo asni bezdin lo, and without that special tanai bezdin, without that special takana, it would have been prohibited. That doesn't make any sense, because hashli Yisrael yavinan lekadam lo yavinan. We allow Yisraelim to use hegdish salt to salt their karbanos. You don't think we're going to allow Kohanim to use hegdish salt their karbanos? I don't need a takana to allow that. What do I need a takana for? Tell me that they can eat their karbanos with hegdish salt. That's where I need a takana. So Gemara brings a braisa that tells us that you're allowed to salt karbanos with hegdish salt. Titania yachal omer harei alai mincha yavi melech mitoch beso kedarach shemevi levono mitoch beso. One might think that if a person says, I'm going to bring a karban mincha, he brings the salt from his own home, just like he brings levona for the tzaruch of the mincha from his own home. Vidinu, and it makes sense to learn one from the other, because ne'mar havei mincha v'havei melech. You're supposed to bring the mincha, and you're supposed to bring melech. V'ne'mar havei mincha v'havei levona. And when you bring a mincha, you're also supposed to bring levona. So ma levona mitoch beso, av melech mitoch beso. If levona is supposed to be brought mitoch beso, it says v'nasan alei levona, then it says v'aviel b'nei Aaron. So you see that the levona is brought mitoch beso together with the mincha. So the melech also, I would think, has to come mitoch beso. That you're bringing a karban mincha, so there are three ingredients: there's the flour, there's the levona, and there's the melech. So the flour comes mitoch beso, the levona comes mitoch beso. So I would imagine the melech also comes mitoch beso. It's what you're contributing. Or maybe there's a way to learn it in the opposite direction, that melech does not come mitoch beso, because nemar avei mincha vavei melech, v'nemar avei mincha vavei etzim. Yes, those are the three ingredients of the karban mincha, but you also need etzim to make the karban mincha work, because you need etzim to burn the kometz on the mizbech. Where does that etzim come from? You don't bring that from your home. Ma etzim mishal tzibur, af melech mishal tzibur. So maybe just like the etzim is paid for by communal funds, so the salt also is paid for by communal funds. So which is correct? Which of these limudim is correct? Should melech come mitoch beso, similar to the levona, or should melech come mishal tzibur, similar to the etzim? So near lemidoma, which is melech more similar to? Done in davar anoig b'kolas vachim, midavar anoig b'kolas vachim. We'll learn that the melech, which is something that applies to every carbon requires melicha, from etzim, which every carbon that needs to be burnt on atzei maracha. Va'al tochiach levona she'in no heges b'kolas vachim. Whereas levona is not in that same category. Levona is not shayich to all zvachim. O kalech l'derach zu, or maybe it's more mistaver to learn, done in davar haba ima b'kli echad, midavar haba ima b'kli echad. Maybe I should derive melech from that which is put in the same kli as it with the karban mincha, from with the levona, which is also put in that same kli. Val yochichu etzim, and therefore etzim shnapi raishein ban ima b'kli echad, because the etzim are never put in the same kli as the melech and the mincha and the levona. So therefore, the etzim is sort of an outside thing. So tamalomar. So we have to say, the Pasuk has to tell me through a Gzeirah Shavah that Bris Melech Olam Hi Ulahalan, and it says by the Lechem HaPanim Lalanu Omer, it says Me'ez B'nei Yisrael Bris Olam. So we darshin Melech from the Lechem HaPanim with the Gzeirah Shavah. Malahalan, just by like the Lechem HaPanim Mishel Tzibur, the Lechem HaPanim is paid for from Tzibur funds, Afkan Mishel Tzibur. So too the Melech that you use is Tzibur Melech. So you see that we learn from Gzeirah Shavah that the Melech comes from the Tzibur. So why do I need a Tanai Bezin to allow the Kohanim to take the Melech Mishal Tzibur? Everyone takes the Melech Mishal Tzibur. That's what Melech is. Melech is always Mishal Tzibur. So I need a special Takanami Drabanan and Mishnah and Shkalim to tell me, don't worry Kohanim, you're allowed to use the Hekdish Melech. You're allowed to use the Melech of Hekdish. Why would it be any different than Yisrael who's allowed to use the Hekdish Melech? So it must be that when Shmuel said that there's a Tanai Bezin that they're allowed to use Melech for their carbon, he means achilas carbonam, not the salting of the carbon. Because if it were the salting of the carbon, then in achinami, there's no need for a takani. Even Yisraelim are allowed to do that. So says Gemara, not such a great raya. Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, hachi kam Rav Shisha b'rei Dravidi. Maybe the Tanai Bezin is that the Kohanim are allowed to be maleach their carbon mishal hagdish lo nitzcha elul ben Bukhri. And the reason that needs a takana is according to Ben Bukhri, who holds a Kohanim don't give the machsa shekel for the korban sibur. So I might think that Yisraelim do have an advantage. That yes, Yisraelim are allowed to use the melech because they pay for it. But Kohanim are not allowed to because they don't pay for it. They don't pay the machsa shekel. They don't pay for the sibur related things. And that's why I need a takana to allow the Kohanim to use the melech. Tetnan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hayid ben Bukhri, Biavne ben Bukhri said over an edus of a tradition that he had in Yavne called Kohen Sheshokel Enu Chote, that any Kohen that gives machsa shekel in Chodesh Adar, we're a week away from this being a Daf Yomi coincidence, right? Parashat Shkolim is the next Shabbos, not this coming Shabbos. But any coin that gives Machzor Shekel is Eino Chote. So I'm Lord Yochman Zakai Loki, El Kol Coin Sheino Shokel Chote. No, he must give Machzor Shekel. El Shokoanim Dorshin Mikrozel Yatzman. The Kohanim selfishly Darshin Apostle to try to make it look like they're part of Machzor Shekel. Because the Apostle says, V'kol Minchas Coin Kalil Tia Lo Seachel, that any Mincha that belongs to a coin, you're not allowed to eat. So Hol Vomer Shelechem Lechem Apanim Shalanuhi, they say, well, if we're going to help pay for the Lechem Apanim, then how can the Lechem Apanim ever get eaten? So we better not pay for it, and therefore we're not going to give Machsa Shekel. Well, Ben Bukhri, kibin de l'chadchila lo mechayiv li'isuye, since according to Ben Bukhri, they don't have to pay the Machsa Shekel, so kimaisi nami chotehu. When they bring the Machsa Shekel, they're chote, to kamayil chul nazara, because they're bringing chul into the azara. So it says, demaisi masal l'tzibur. No, they're giving it fully over to the tzibur. But now we finish up the discussion. Salka daita chamina ki zachilu rachmana li Yisrael dis lu lishka lukan d'les lu lishka lo zachilu rachmana. That when do you ever just use the salt that belongs to Hagdish for your own personal karban? That's for Yisrael who's giving shkalim. But Kohanim aren't giving any shkalim. They don't have the right to use that salt. So kamash malan, that's what I need the takana for, to tell me that the Kohanim are allowed to salt their karbanos using salt that belongs to Agdish, even though they didn't pay for that salt. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Eitzim on the third line.